So we turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel and chapter 8, and reading from verse 31 to verse 32. So just a short reading today, but we're going to be referring to the passage around it. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And because it's so short, I'll read it again. John 8:31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." These last few weeks and the next few weeks, we're thinking on the theme of encouragement. Encouragement, as we say, is literally, if somebody encourages you, what they're doing, they're encouraging. They are giving you courage. They are giving you strength. And that strength, the point of encouragement, the point of strengthening you, is to lift you up, to hold you up, that you might be everything that you're supposed to be, everything that God created you to be. That's the point of encouragement. It is to lift you up and to cause you to be strong. And this may not apply to anybody else, but if ever in your life you've exercised and become fit, and you're aware your muscles are tight. Yeah, have you ever had that feeling? You know, when you've exercised and it feels good. And then if you don't exercise for quite a long time, your muscles don't feel so tight, and they become a bit flabby and just doesn't feel the same. And perhaps you look at yourself in the mirror and you dream of that day when you look good in your own eyes. When we encourage, when we strengthen, it's as if we give life and strength back to our muscles. And suddenly everything's ready to be the best that we can be. And that's what we read in the scriptures over and over again. Words of encouragement, words that come from God to give us strength, to be the people that God has intended us to be. And today the focus is on these verses. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And just a couple of verses later, Jesus says in verse 36, "So if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." So reflecting today on a word of encouragement from the lips of Jesus about freedom. And the fact that, according to Jesus, we can be free. We can be free. But there is the question of, what do we mean by freedom? Is it freedom to just do whatever we want? Now, of course, it's not freedom to do whatever we want. And as we read the scriptures, what we learn about freedom is that God wants us to be free from everything that holds us back from being the best people that we can be. The best people spiritually, the best people emotionally, the best people physically that we can be. God's intention that as he has created us, he might set us free from everything that holds us back. Hebrews chapter 12. Let us kind of throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that clings so tightly. Let's throw it all off. Let us be free, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Freedom is about becoming and being everything that God has always intended for us to be. Now, of course, even within that, there is the issue of we might read the scriptures and begin to believe that we can be more than we are right now. And then what can happen is that as we begin to reach out and seek to live as this new person that we believe we can be, maybe we struggle. And what happens? We become not encouraged, but discouraged. And our head goes down and our muscles, we just let them go. We become discouraged. And so we let it go and we say, well, you know, I know I read that, but I'll live on this other level because I can cope with that. Yet the words of Jesus, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you can be free indeed. What kind of freedom? It is freedom from anything that will hold us back from being the people that God has created us to be. Now, what could that be? That could be an emotional thing that holds us back. We all know that there's the old saying, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a load of nonsense. And yet, it was said to me many times, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will hurt me far more. And we all know there have probably, for all of us, words been spoken to us about who we are, about our potential, about things that we have done, and they have discouraged us. They have hurt us. And even now, we carry that hurt with us. They can be things said when we were 10 years old, and when we reach 50 and 60, we may not know it, but we're still carrying the wounds of that. And Jesus said, you can be set free from that pain, from the lie that was spoken to you, so that you can be who God has intended you to be. We can get stuck in all sorts of ambition because of what we have perhaps been brought up to believe, that we must succeed at all costs, we must put our career first, we must achieve certain standards. That ambition can get in the way of being who God wants us to be. Because, of course, God calls us to follow Jesus and to be loving and kind and merciful and forgiving and thinking of the other person and so on. And so even seeking to be our best, ambition can get in the way. All sorts of things can get in the way of us being who God has created us to be. But we need to hear the words of encouragement. These words are intended to give us strength, to give us hope, that we can say, I might be 19, I might be 90, but even now Jesus would speak to us and say, you can be free. Because if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So there's the question of freedom. How does freedom come about? I'm going to list four steps that we take from what we've just read. Firstly, we respond positively to Jesus. That's the first thing we do. This verse, I haven't put it up here, but it was to the Jews who had believed him. We respond positively to Jesus. Secondly, we discover and hold to his teaching. If you hold to my teaching. Thirdly, we come to know the truth. You are really my disciples, then you will know the truth. And fourthly, the truth sets us free. And I'm just going to run through those four different things, seeking to unpack them that we might be encouraged today. And the first of these is we respond positively to Jesus. In a way, I know from my own life, from my own experience, story I've told many times, probably from my earliest days, I don't think I ever responded negatively to Jesus. I was brought up, as you know, in church, going to church sometimes four times every Sunday from when I was a very young lad. And I think there was always that sense, I didn't diss Jesus, you know, I didn't disrespect him or anything. But when I was 12, I responded positively to him. I made a decision. And it was only a simple decision at the time, but I can look back on it and say, that was the moment I responded positively to Jesus. And it might be that we say, well, I came to Jesus over a period of time, and it's not a moment I can name, but I responded positively to Jesus at a particular point. And it seems to me it's important for us to be able to look back and say, well, it might be that there's a moment or a time, a day, an occasion that we can look back to and say, that is when I responded positively to Jesus. I'd known about him. Maybe through church, maybe through friends, maybe through school, whoever it was that told us or however we found out about Jesus. But there was that point at which we responded positively, a clear point. It might be, as I say, that we've responded over a period of time. And that's when we can say, well, for me, you know, it might be you say, well, it was kind of 1996 during the summer. I responded positively, but I can't name a time or a day. But it's important for us just to let it rest on us. You know, in the spring of 1996, I hadn't responded positively. But by the autumn of 1996, I had. And something changed on my journey, on my spiritual journey. And it's important that we can just look back and say, you know, that happened for me. I responded positively to Jesus. I'm aware as well that for some of us, we respond positively to Jesus, clear moments, several times through our lives, several key occasions when perhaps we have responded once and then we let it all go. A bit like the disciples, you know, they began their journey with Jesus and then they went, no, I'm giving up on this, too tough, and they drift away. And it might be like us. We get into a particular way of being and we just say, it doesn't fit with following Jesus. So we let it go. And then later we're challenged again. And we come back again positively to Jesus. And in order for us to be set free from everything that would hold us back from being the best that we can be, that we can be everything that God wants us to be, there has to be that positive response to him. And we can look back and say, I can mark it. This is what happened for me. So just that simple thing. We respond positively to Jesus. The second is we discover and hold to his teaching. So we respond positively to Jesus, but having responded positively to him, if we're going to be set free, we discover and hold to his teaching. Now, the teaching of Jesus comes in a couple of ways. It was both spoken and it was lived. If we think about an example of the teaching of Jesus that was spoken, we could easily just turn to the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, it's all through the Gospels, the direct teaching of Jesus. But we could look at the Sermon on the Mount. As an example, here is something of Jesus' teaching laid out. And Jesus is saying, you've responded positively to me. As we read, to the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you've heard it. Now, if you hold to it. The teaching you've heard, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, but then there is teaching that is lived. And the example I would give here, just as an example, is right at the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 8, where we have that woman who's brought to Jesus. She's been found in adultery. She's brought and thrown before Jesus. The crowd has gathered around, picking up stones, ready to throw at this woman. And they challenge Jesus. The law says we should stone this woman. She's broken God's law, the sacred law. What do you say? And here we have the teaching of Jesus lived. Because for a while he says nothing. And then he writes on the ground. And he says, whoever of you who's without sin, feel free, throw the first stone. Then the older ones, the wiser ones, maybe they've committed more sin, they're more aware of it. They leave, and others leave. Until eventually Jesus looks up and there's just this woman there. There's no one left. No one's going to stone you. I'm not going to either. Go and don't do it again. And then Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And there we have the teaching of Jesus lived. If you hold to my teaching. Sometimes we need the pictures of a life that is lived as teaching. That's helpful for us. Sometimes we just need to read it and tick it off and go, okay, this is what I want to bring into my life, this discipline. I want to be forgiving. I want to be generous. I want to be loving, just as Jesus directly taught me to do. The teaching of Jesus spoken and lived. But then we have to think about, what does it actually mean to hold to Jesus's teaching? Is it just reading it and go, oh yeah, I get it. It's of course a lot more than that. It's about making his teaching part of me. It's seeking to allow Jesus's teaching to become deeply rooted in us. It's about allowing the teaching of Jesus to become deeply rooted in us, and I say, so that living his way becomes natural. Now, I could ask you, what habits are natural to you? I won't ask you. Yeah, it's a rhetorical question. But what habits are natural to you? Do you know the habits that are natural to you are the ones you have practiced over and over and over again? Those are the habits that are natural to you. It's the ones you have done repetitively over and over. Isn't that right? You just, why do you do that? I don't know why I do it. I do. It's part of my life. I can't imagine not doing it. Yeah, isn't that right? Holding to Jesus' teaching means making his teaching part of me, seeking to allow Jesus' teaching become deeply rooted in us so that living his way becomes natural. And the way that happens is that we actually do what he says. And then having done what he said, we have to do it again. And then you have to do it again. And then you have to do it again and again. And again. And eventually you get to the point of, why are you so generous? You go, I don't really know. I just am. Why are you so forgiving? I've forgotten, really. I just am. Because it's become natural to you. Why are you so gentle? Why so kind? Just because it becomes natural. And that's what it means for Jesus's teaching, for us to hold to Jesus's teaching. See, often we want freedom just like that. Set me free. Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, if you make it part of your life. Elsewhere, Jesus says, if anyone is weary and heavy laden, let them come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And you will find rest for your souls. Learn from me like an oxen. Come alongside me and we'll work together. It's not something that comes just like this. To be set free, we have to change the habits of a lifetime. We have to change the negativity the bitterness, the envy, the greed, the ambition, the selfishness, the habits of a lifetime have to be changed. And we change them by taking on the teaching of Jesus. And we decide, and maybe even now, God's Spirit will be speaking to you and putting within you just the seed of an idea. Maybe I can do that. Maybe I can begin at the beginning. And I can look and say, what did Jesus say? What did he teach? And I'm going to have a go. I'm going to go for it. Because I want to be free. I want to be everything God ever intended me to be. And it might wreck all sorts of other things. Because I've got great plans for who I'm going to be and what I'm going to be. Might wreck all those. But actually, I want to be truly who I should be. So even now, God might be speaking to you and challenging you, holding to the teaching of Jesus. So what do we have? We respond positively to Jesus. There is a point at which we say yes to Jesus. Whatever that meant for us, however that happened, we come and discover and hold to his teaching. It becomes natural to us because it becomes ingrained within us. And the third thing, we come to know the truth. We come to know the truth. If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Living in Jesus' teaching leads us, Jesus says, to a knowledge of the truth. And this knowledge is an intimate, deep knowledge. It's not just a head knowledge so that we can know. Oh, yeah, I remember that. It's up there somewhere, stored away. But it's intimacy. I remember in Sunday school hearing the story of Adam and Eve. And in Genesis, it says, and Adam knew Eve, and she became pregnant and bore him a child. Remember that? That was in the real Bible, you know, King James. Adam knew Eve. And I used to, what's this? Of course, nobody explained it to me. They knew. It was their way of saying they became so intimate, so close, so open and vulnerable with one another. You will know the truth is that same intimacy. Why? Because if we hold to the teaching of Jesus, it becomes ingrained within us. It becomes so natural to us. It's just part of us. It's almost part of our DNA. You will know the truth. It'll be close to you, intimate with you. It is as if the truth is hidden in the teaching of Jesus. It's as if there's a seed of truth that needs to germinate deep within us. We need to allow time and openness spent with the teaching of Jesus and living it out and following everything that he taught in order to allow that seed just to begin to grow and grow and grow within us. That's what it means that we will come to know the truth, that deep intimacy with that which is true, fundamentally true. We come to know the truth as we have held to the teaching of Jesus. It grows from just a dry seed within us. And it grows and it transforms us. The truth about what? What do we come to know the truth about? If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You come to know the truth. Well, I'm going to list four things here. The first is you come to know the truth about God. And these four things may not be in this order in which you come to know them. You come to know the truth about God. Now, I say you come to know the truth about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You understand who your Father is, that you are deeply loved by your Father. You understand who Jesus is, Son of the Father, beloved of the Father, born, lived, died, raised to life, ascended to heaven. You understand who the Holy Spirit is, the one who comes alongside you to strengthen you and encourage you, to build you up, to say to you, come on, every day, come on, you can do it. The great encourager who's there for you. And as we let the teaching of Jesus become part of us, this is not a quick fix thing. As we let the teaching of Jesus become part of us, so we come to know the truth about God, about who he is, because it's deep within us. But then we've come to know the truth about ourselves. We come to know the truth about ourselves. And it may be that we don't really want to know the truth about ourselves. It may be that there is a sense of shame about who we are. It may be that there's a sense of regret about who we are and what we've done. It might be that there are things we have done, sins we have committed, and we just don't want to go there, and they're hidden, as it were, in some dark corner in our life. But as we hold to the teaching of Jesus, we come to know the truth about ourselves. And we're never going to be set free unless we come to know the truth about who we are, about the many promises we've made and never fulfilled. Not promises to other people, promises to ourselves. And we've never fulfilled them. Everything we've ever dreamed of, and we've shut it away. We come to know the truth about ourselves. And we understand, I am loved by God. I am loved by God. I am beautiful in the sight of God. God created me. I don't have to live down, I can live up. I don't have to live poor, I can live rich. I don't have to live weak, I can live strong. Because as Jesus' teaching becomes a natural part of me, because I'm just following Jesus step by step, I understand the truth about myself. I'm not a wretch. I'm not a dirty sinner. I'm loved by God. I'm blessed by him. And that's what we come to discover about who we are, that we are wonderfully created by God. And then we come to discover the truth about others as well. Why does that happen? Well, if we allow the teaching of Jesus just to become ingrained with others, you know what? We begin to see others as Jesus would see them, with compassion and kindness. And you know all those bad habits that everybody else has got? You haven't, but everybody else. And the things that really drive you bonkers about everybody else and why they're not as good as you. They're not. But as we hold to the teaching of Jesus, we learn the truth about God. We learn the truth about ourselves. We learn the truth about others, that actually, they're okay. Actually, they're beautiful as well. They're good as well. They're not dirty, ugly, rotten sinners or whatever we'd want to say. But they're wonderfully, mysteriously created by God. And we begin to have a different perspective on others. And we have patience with others because we see them differently. And we're more tolerant. We learn the truth about others. But then the fourth thing is, I believe, we learn the truth about the world in which we live. We learn the truth about the world in which we live. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I know, we've often heard it as, for God so loved you. That is true. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not die but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. It actually says, for God so loved the cosmos. That's what it literally says. God so loved the cosmos. the earth underneath our feet. God loves it. The trees and the plants, God loves it. The mountains and the fields and the rivers and the streams, God loves them. The stars and the moon and the planets, God loves them. Because God loves all of this. And he loves all the living creatures. He gave his son. I was brought up with this idea that God was going to do away with the world. That's not what the scripture says. It says God loves it. I think, wow, I created that. Great. And we learn the truth about the world. Now, if you're, as we might say, environmentally minded, ecologically minded, and you're concerned about what's happening to the world, what's happening? All you're doing is being inspired by the Spirit of God to care for that which God has created. And what happens as we allow the teaching of Jesus to become part of our habit, part of our discipline, part of who we are, deep and intimately within us, we learn the truth about God, about ourselves, about others, and also about the world in which we live. And so we have these things. We respond positively to Jesus. We discover and hold to his teaching. We come to know the truth. And then we're told the truth sets us free. And as I've been saying all along, the truth sets us free. Free to be who God created you to be. And God created you to be wonderful and beautiful. And delightful and mature and fulfilled. God created you to be a blessing to others. The best way for you to be a blessing is just to be blessed by God. To let everything that God has just find its home in you. Now the encouragement from Jesus is that you can be set free. You do not have to live the way perhaps you're living and you don't really like living. You don't have to hold on to the attitudes that have held you back from being the beautiful person you're sure is there. You haven't got to live with the burdens that have held you down. But you can be set free. Now, it's not an easy thing. It's not a quick fix thing. But actually, it's not with Jesus. When he first called disciples, what did he say? Come. Follow me. Come, follow me. Make a journey. Start the journey today. Make a journey of following Jesus and making decisions about your journey. For some, it might be that today you've heard all this and you say, well, all this, it's all very well. But I haven't yet responded positively to Jesus. And it might be that today, either for the first time or for the second or third or fifth time, but it's a decisive thing. You say, right now is the time. I'm going to respond positively to Jesus. I need to do that and I want to do that. And that's what I'm going to do. I want to name today, the 9th of October, 2011. Now is the time when I'm going to respond positively to Jesus. What did Jesus say? If you hold to my teaching. And it might be, okay, I'm going to hold to the teaching of Jesus. Where do I begin? And it might be the simple thing for you to say is, just what did he do? What is the journey of his life? Can I follow that journey? And we here see how Jesus just responded to God. There was once a man in a river, of all the places to find him. There was a man in a river. And Jesus goes to that man and says, John, would you baptize me? John goes, oh, no. You should baptize. No. And Jesus says, this is what God wants. Jesus is following what God wants. And so he's baptized. And it might be today the simple step, yet profound step of saying, respond positively to Jesus. I want to hold to his teaching. I want to hold to the lived teaching. I'll be baptized. to make that key decision, that key step. It might be that we need to go and we need to say, I want to hold to the teaching of Jesus. I need to read the Bible. I really need to focus on Jesus, on his teaching, what he said, and just tick it off and say, I want this to become an ingrained habit in my life. How can I start to be kind, to be generous, to be loving? I remember hearing a bishop speak and he says, I'm not very good at being a Christian, so every day I have to decide to be kind. And so every day, he said, I get up and I think, okay, I've got to be kind today. It doesn't come naturally yet. And so he would. Every day, he would do something kind because he knew he had to do that. He had to repeat it over and over again so that it became natural. And maybe we have to do that. Do the things of Jesus over and over again. And it might be today we have to make those key steps to say, what would it take to get me back on this journey? And we have to make decisions about it, that I might know the truth, that I might know the truth about God, about myself, about others, and about this world, that I might be set free from all of the lies that I've ever been told about God, myself, others, and the world. And I might be set free to be the best, to be the most beautiful and wonderful and delightful thing that ever God wanted me to be. May God's blessing and encouragement strengthen us today as we respond. Let's pause and let's pray. And just as required, it might be appropriate for you to name to yourself what your response will be. This is what I'm going to do. And it may be you need to acknowledge that for you to do the thing that you know you need to do, you know you have to tell somebody else. And that will help you. Father, I pray that all the loveliness of Jesus would rest upon us today. Father, I pray that the generosity that we see in Jesus, the compassion, his kindness, his mercy would rest upon us today. Father, I pray that the barriers we put up for whatever reason, against you, against making the most of journeying towards you, whatever barriers, Father, I pray that they would just disintegrate in the light of you. And we would understand that we are loved by you, deeply, passionately loved by you. And we'd be able to rest in that love. Help us today. Encourage us, Father, today, deep within our souls, that being blessed ourselves, we might be a blessing to others. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.